Okay, well, let's start with Telemiracle on Saturday night, and then you have a show at SaskTel on Sunday, so we'll get to those in a moment. But first, I want to talk about your new project, this self-titled album that I read you had said it was about the band getting its swagger back. What do you mean by that?
Well, that really connects, actually, to New Gold Magic, that song, and that when we were in this, I was in the studio with this guy, Kane Churko, who is a Saskatchewan resident from back in the day. He lives in Vegas now. Him and his dad, Kevin, and his uncle, Corey, all from Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. When I went in the studio with him, when that song started to take shape, it was like, man, this feels magical. Like back in the day, like when, you know, you... Like, because you make records, and lots of times they're really good, and you're very, very happy with them. But this was just one of those special moments, and it just felt like we're back in the pocket. You know, when it's like those moments when you were playing hockey as a kid, and you just have to skate in front of the net. Somebody shoots a puck, it goes off your stick and in the net. Like, you're like, what happened?
Hey, well, it's been 30 years. It's been 3 decades that Econoline Crush has been you know, making music longer than that, but. Has it kind of been a roller coaster? Have there been some times where you feel like you're in the pocket, sometimes you're not?
Absolutely. I mean, that's like anything in life. I think you have to have those moments of, you know, where it's not so great to appreciate the moments when it's really great. So I think it's always going to be an ebb and flow like that. But yeah, I mean, it's a journey, right? It's not a destination, and you take every moment and cherish it, because music business is tough, and we're very privileged to be around this long.
I was going to say, for people like myself, we watch you up on stage and think, man, that would be just the coolest thing. We don't appreciate what goes into getting that far, to getting up on stage, to getting in front of all of those fans, and all the work that goes into it. Has it been a very rewarding career for you so far?
Yeah, and it's actually the most, I think, rewarding parts now are the little things, like when you talk to fans and they tell you, you know, I had experienced X, Y, and Z, and when listening to your songs, it made it better, it helped enhance the event, or it got me through an event. And that stuff to me is just like, I don't even know how to describe the feeling. It's like we were part of people's lives. We were part of their growing up, going through high school, going through their first divorce, whatever it is, and we helped carry them through. And to me, that's just like the greatest gift ever. Like if you can impart that onto somebody and make things a little bit better, I love it.
Why wouldn't you do that? Now, you are what I would describe as a pretty diverse personality. You're a rock star, you're a songwriter. I didn't realize that you're a nurse, you're an advocate, and you've talked openly about a lot of your own challenges with addiction and recovery. How does that feel?
I mean, it's a daily thing. You have to stay focused, and I, you know, my whole life I've always been curious about everything, and that insatiable curiosity has led me down some funky paths. But when I decided to go back to school and become a psychiatric nurse, and then took positions in 2 different First Nations in Manitoba, I learned so much. I learned so much about the culture. I learned so much about this beautiful people, that things that I didn't know, and I thought I knew a lot of stuff, but I didn't know anything. And so I've been really lucky, like, just to have this diverse and wonderful life. And I think, you know, it's just how I guess I was wired, why my parents were wired too, I guess. We just always want to be helping, always want to do the best we can for our community. And I just really enjoy both things. And they're oddly similar in a lot of ways. Like, it's about providing happiness, comfort, and, you know, a little entertainment too, I suppose.
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Now, you got the new album out, and in it, there's a song called Not Today, which kind of shines a light on suicide prevention. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, like we were in there, and it wasn't that long after Ziggy had passed. And you know, there's a lot of mystery around just exactly what happened. But regardless, mental health did play a factor, you know, depression. And for me, that's a thing that I work with almost daily in the community when I'm there. Is there's always some suicidal ideation going on with one or more clients. And, it's just trying really hard to get people to see that this is just a temporary thing, you know, and it feels, it hurts so much, but you can't let this temporary thing become, you know, something that you use a permanent solution. And I think a lot of times people don't realize how much they mean to their friends and their family, and they think they don't mean anything. And I always encourage people, you know, when we have our own shows and I get a chance to do a little spiel, I always say, like, look around you and your friend that's not here, that should be here tonight. You got to give them a call, tell them how much they mean to you, tell your family how much they mean to you, and express love and compassion. Even when you think, oh, that could be goofy, I don't want to say anything, say it. Say it because it matters. Say it because it could be the one thing that prevents this person from doing something that they can't take back.
All right. I like your message. I want to talk about the band for just a bit. Like I said, and I hate to make it sound like it's a long time ago, but the mid-90s, when you really started to get traction in the public sphere, was 3 decades ago. But I think the thing about your band is you've managed to evolve and music. How has music evolved?
Well, it's interesting because when we started, you know, we were very, like, forward-thinking with the technology. We used a lot of sequences. We used a lot of samples. My belief was, and probably because, you know, I'm not very proficient at any instrument, was that anything that we could use to enhance the dynamics of the song, to bring more impact to the song, let's do it. Like, whether it's a sample of a breaking glass or, you know, some kind of sequence that adds tension, takes away tension. And I noticed that, like, after a while, it seemed like the sort of the mainstream caught up to where we were at. And there's so much more music created today that sounds a lot like what we did in the past. And I think we were lucky to kind of be that forward thinking. And at the same time, it's kind of cool to hear it and to think maybe we were in a small way influenced some people. And then as the band grew, like, just being open-minded, being very, like, just open to new ideas, new things, trying to figure out a better way to express ourselves or a different way to express ourselves. But at the end of the day, it's what's best for the song. It's what's best for that message. How do we get this message of this song across? Even if the message is just like, hey, look how sunny it is outside, you know, just trying to get that message across.
Okay, well, let's use the forward thinking and let's talk about AI. And will it, like, in your opinion, will artists get control of it, and will it ultimately become just another tool?
I think so. It is kind of frightening. It is kind of, it's an interesting, you know, this is, again, a space where we've never been before, because they're pulling intellectual property out of the, you know, the I guess the nanosphere, whatever you want to call it, the internet. And so all the stuff that it's using is not their own intellectual property. So it's a very, it's kind of funky. And as artists, I guess we're getting robbed, but that's nothing new. I think that it'll eventually have to become something that is just another tool in our toolkit. But it can never replicate the human experience, and it could, you know, be fairly accurate in guessing what I might do. If you said, well, put a vocal on this, just like Trevor Hurst, I think it could get an, yeah, it could be pretty close. It could predict some of my patterns. But as human beings, we're so unpredictable in a lot of ways, and we have experiences that change us. And so I'm not worried about it replacing human beings, but I do think it is something that's going to, yeah, it's going to have some hiccups and some bumps along the way, for sure.
Well, I compare it to drum machines. Bands still have drummers.
Absolutely. And that was the thing, too. Like, we used to play to a sequence. And when we first came into clubs, and heck, even trying to get stuff on the radio when we first started, people were like, well, there's so many keyboards and there's a drum machine and this is a rock station and we don't do that. And then now, like, everybody, you know, plays to a sequence or does some sort of tracks, and it's just part of the business. It's something that can make that experience so much better. And the reality is, you want to put on, you know, the best version of the songs for the audience. And if that takes a little bit of a, you know, play into a drum machine, and then it takes playing to a drum machine. It's just the way it goes.
That's right. And like I said, there are still drummers in the industry. So now I want to talk about your stay here in Saskatoon, because I know Saturday night you're playing at Kinsmen Telemiracle. Have you had the opportunity to experience Telemiracle?
I have not, but I do remember when I was first starting in the music business, we used to go to this hotel in Edmonton, and they did a similar kind of telethon, and I remember there was a guy that used to host it a lot, Ronnie Prophet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's a name from the past.
And I mean, we would be in the audience just giving her, ring those phones. And the whole, like, I mean, the whole atmosphere was so, like, celebratory and cool. Like, you know, somebody come up there with their, you know, talking chicken or something, who knows what, they bring something in, and it'd be entertaining, and everybody, like, it's, there's a really, a feeling of warmth and community in those things, and I'm so looking forward to it, because I think this is something that, you know, everybody can get behind, helping, you know, health system, and helping, you know, better medical stuff, and helping people out. I think it's a wonderful cause. And at the same time, you get to see all these different people perform, local acts and stuff like that. And it's so cool.
Well, I think it'll certainly, if nothing else, give you some great stories to tell on stage when you perform at Sastel Center on March 1st.
Yeah, Mickey.
It'll be great, and look forward to hearing that new Gold Magic and some of the stuff from your new albums. And I assume we're also going to hear some classics.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a jam-packed set. Like, you don't, when you're the first band up on a three band bill, you get limited time, so we have to slam through the set pretty quick. But we've got all the hits and all the fun times and new stuff too.
Okay, I want to ask one more question before I let you go. You've been very generous with your time, and I appreciate that. But a lot of in reading some of your interviews, and you talked about how you're kind of reimagining a lot of your older music. How do fans respond? I know how I feel about when I'm one of your favorite songs and it sounds a little bit different. I go, wait a minute. How do other fans feel?
Well, I haven't had too much feedback yet, but so far it's been very positive. I think I've always said, you know, in these interviews about it, like, there's nothing wrong. The original is perfect. It is exactly the way it's supposed to be. All we were trying to do was, when we went into the studio, we were trying to connect the dots between what we had done with Kane and what we're doing going forward. And I was like, is there any way that we could kind of, you know, maneuver these older songs into the sound that we're kind of working with now? Like, and could we do so without losing any integrity of the song? So that was our goal, was just to, because we've been playing them the same way for a long time, and now just putting a little twist in it, it's still like, I get it too. Like, you go to a thing and you want to hear the guy sing that note or play that solo exactly like that, and then it isn't the way it is, and you're just like, but I think we're, you know, hopefully we don't have too many moments. We have like just a lot of, hey, that's cool.
Well, I'm sure it is. You have to appreciate guys like me. We like progress, but we don't like change.
Yeah, exactly.
Trevor, look forward to seeing you in Saskatoon this weekend, and thanks again for your time.
Thank you. Take care, Steve. Bye.